Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." And then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I will give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." And then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The word of God for the people of God. Please pray with me. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. When I was a kid and I was watching Mary Poppins, you know the song about the lady feeding the birds? You remember that song? Feed the birds. Well, Jim is going to play that for us on the piano later. Now, Jim, I don't like to admit this, but when I was a kid, that song was really boring to me. Now, this was before the days of being able to pause a movie or to fast forward. So that was always a good time to go to the kitchen and get a snack. But now, I am an old lady, my daughter says, who is obsessed with birds. So now I love this song. And when the song plays in the movie, there's a cutaway from Julie Andrews, and we see an elderly woman feeding pigeons. And they're all around her. They're on her lap and her head. There's so many of them. Now, I don't know about you, but as a kid growing up in New York, my father used to say to stay away from them. He called them rats with wings. So it may come as a surprise to many of you to know that the biblical dove that we all have come to know and love is, in fact, a small pigeon. The word pigeon is from the French pigeon, and dove is an English word, but they belong to the same bird family. I learned that in a book that I'm reading by Reverend Debbie Blue. She wrote a book titled Consider the Birds, a provocative guide to the birds of the Bible. And the title, Consider the Birds, comes from Matthew's gospel when Jesus tells his followers not to be anxious, but to consider the birds and to learn from them. So that's what we're doing today. When we listen to the words of the psalm that you heard Laura speak, he, meaning God, will cover you with his pinions, that is his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. So that's a metaphor of God as a bird protecting us. But imagery for God as a bird comes long before that, specifically as a dove in Genesis, when the Spirit of God hovers over the water like a dove. Now, like a dove sounds much lovelier than the Spirit of God hovering over the water like a pigeon. Or when Jesus is baptized and the Spirit of God descends down, it's pretty clear, like a dove. It just wouldn't have the same ring to it if the Spirit descended down like a pigeon. The Spirit of God, first and foremost, delivers messages. As in Jesus' baptism example, where we hear the message, "You are my son with whom I am well pleased." It's the message that's most important, not the messenger. That's why pigeons or homing doves have been used for thousands of years to carry messages in every empire, from the Egyptians to the Romans and to the US in world wars, both one and two. While the white dove grew into a symbol of purity and peace, it's not at all far-fetched to consider that the biblical writers had something more complex in mind when they wrote about the Spirit of God. God's Spirit in Genesis hovers over the waters, creating life, every kind of life, not just the pure and peaceful life, but swarming, creeping fungi, membranes, and bowels. We are human beings and we're made of dirt, according to Genesis, not something fragile and pure and white. In fact, each of us carries 2 to 5 pounds of bacteria in our bodies. So it seems that the dove and the pigeon are more closely related than we might think. One is a symbol of purity, and the other is something we tend to think of as dirty. But of all of the birds, pigeons are the ones that seem to want to be close to us. They are where we are, in some of the worst places that we've made projects and abandoned buildings. And they're also in some of the best places, like parks and piazzas. So what if the Spirit of God is like a pigeon, always underfoot, routinely ignored, and often despised? Maybe the Spirit of God is so common wherever life is that we don't recognize it necessarily or even respect it because we're so busy looking out for what's white and pure. Maybe we're mistaken about what is holy. Jesus spent his whole life redefining what it meant to be holy, turning purity laws upside down, cleanliness laws upside down, breaking the rules around who could share bread, who was in and who was out, touching lepers and prostitutes and Samaritans and sinners and the blind and the lame and the poor and the sick and the weak and the other, the ones that no one else wanted around. He's not separating into purity and impurity, clean and unclean. Jesus is mixing it up through his caring for and loving others the way God loves, with his whole self, all people. The Spirit of God like a pigeon. In today's scripture, it's the Spirit of God that leads Jesus into the wilderness, as though Jesus didn't choose to go, but was led there, where he is faced with choices to stay there and to face temptations laid out by Satan, bread, to which Jesus says, "No, the food that I will bring people is far greater than bread." Power, says Satan. "No," says Jesus, "the kingdom I will bring is unlike any of the corrupt powers that you see around you." And twice Jesus quotes scripture to reject Satan's temptations. And then this is where it gets really interesting, because Satan gets smart, thinks to himself, "Well, if Jesus is using scriptures to reject me, I'm going to go ahead and speak his language." So Satan then quotes scripture to Jesus from the psalm that you heard, saying, "For it is written, God will command his angels concerning you to protect you. On their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. In other words, Jesus, if you really believe your own scripture, you can do what I'm saying because ultimately God will protect you. That's tempting. That's tempting for him. It's tempting for us to allow ourselves to give in to all of the things we do or all of the ways we think we know are not good for us, but to do them anyway, because ultimately, God will love us anyway. That's tempting. But as Jesus points out, God will not be put to the test. We're the ones who will be tested. We're the ones who will be led by the Spirit to that place of wilderness. We are at times led there. But more often than not, the wilderness just happens. A hospital waiting room, or a thorny relationship, or a troubled child, or a sudden death, or a crippling panic attack. The wilderness appears unwelcome at our doorsteps. It insists on itself. And the psalm you heard this morning points out in the verses that you didn't hear all the terrible things that can happen, all of those wilderness places. But the psalm most notably points out that you can trust that God will be there with you in it, in those wilderness places, those places of chaos and solitude and muck, in the dirt, in the dangerous places that would tempt us to rely on ourselves instead of God, pushing and pulling ourselves into some false idea of self-control. God is there to protect with his wings under his feathers like a bird who carries a message, I'm with you. I'm here. I've got you. I've got you. In the wilderness, and I will bring you home like a pigeon. Like a pigeon, I will carry this message to you in the messiest times of your life and in the dirtiest of places. I will show up underfoot and place my wing there. This Lenten season, we are called to listen. To listen to our whole life. With our whole selves, all the ways God is calling, all the ways that the Spirit leads us, all the ways, not just the pure, pretty, white ways, but all of those ways, the gray pigeon with all of its colors, not just the pretty quiet times with a cup of coffee by the water, the way our Lenten image, if you saw that image on your bulletin cover, not just in those moments, but also in those wilderness moments, because Lenten journeys are just that. They are a time to experience in 40 days what it means to be most vulnerable, to take inventory, and to rely more on God and less on self. And the image of a wing being protection is not as reassuring as it might be if the image was one as armor. But God doesn't promise to take us out of the wilderness or to shield us from pain and suffering, but to comfort us with his love in all of our vulnerability while we are in the thick of it. That's why it's recommended, and this is your pastor's recommendation, I highly recommend, that we give something up during this time. Something that brings us comfort, or I might suggest that you identify something that you do habitually that leads you away from God, that has you shooing away the dirty pigeons of your life, instead of embracing them as a message that God loves you. I'm going to say that again. I might suggest you identify something that you do habitually that leads you away from God, that has you shooing away the dirty pigeons of your life, and instead embrace them as a message from God that He's got you. Feed the birds, tuppence a bag. That's the lyrics to that song. They say, though her words are simple and few, listen, listen, she's calling to you. Feed the birds, tuppence a bag, tuppence, tuppence, tuppence a bag. That's a metaphor for all the ways that you might feed the God who is there underfoot in the muck and in the dirt and in the wilderness places of the heart, calling for you to listen for Him and to let Him gather you under His wing. And each time you're tempted to tell yourself you're not enough, not smart enough, youthful enough, rich enough, powerful enough, all those ways we're tempted by this world to be told that we're less than, remember the message of the pigeon, the one who's come to bring you home and to say, I've got you. I've got all of you. Come with me under my wing, and I will protect you from all temptations of the soul to be perfect and instead embrace all of your imperfections. Being human is a beautiful, mysterious, and scary ride. And a lot of time we seem to believe that there are many things about being human that are not okay, like dying and sweating and aging and being frail. And we're afraid people will see some weakness or impurity leaking out of our pores. So we have to hide a lot and lie a lot, even to ourselves. And the deceit is perhaps our greatest temptation, and it's also perhaps the most destructive. God becomes human in Jesus Christ, entering fully into a bodily home full of touch and interaction with everything unclean and impure. Let that free you this Lenten season of needing to be anything more than what you are, a human being in need. God has you under wing and underfoot. God's got you. Amen.